In the book of Revelation, in several places, Christ describes himself with these words. Revelation chapter 1, and verse 8, he says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Verse 10, John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia." Towards the end of this book, this prophecy, in chapter 21, we read, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And in chapter 22, verse 10, John writes that he saith unto me, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Christ is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. In any matter, in any task, with any subject, where do you start? Where would you start? You start at the beginning. You start at the beginning. And you work your way through until you reach the end. When you go on a journey, you start at the beginning. You travel and you reach your destination. When you take up a book, you start at the beginning, you read through to the end. Should you be building a house, you start at the beginning, at the foundations, and you build up to the end. With any matter, you start at the beginning. To start somewhere else would be to go astray. But you start at the beginning. And when you come to the scriptures and to all things concerning time and eternity, life and death, heaven and earth, mankind and his God, right and wrong, good and evil, when you come to the scriptures, when you come to the truth, there is a beginning and there is an end. And the beginning and the end is Jesus Christ. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Everything concerns him. Everything in life, everything in this world, everything in the events that which pass, everything that may happen to you, everything in your past, your present, and your future has to do with Jesus Christ. He is the beginning and the end. Some men wonder what life is all about. Some men ask the question, why are we here? Why do we live? Why do we get up one day, go to bed the next day, get up the next day? What's it all for? Why am I here? What's the point of life? Why are we here on this globe? Why do we grow? Why do we do? Why do we work? Why do we suffer? Why are we here? What is the meaning? Well, Christ has the answer. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He's the cause of all things. He's the reason this world is here. He's the reason you are here. He's the reason he keeps you alive today. He's the reason. And he is the end. No matter what the question is, what the task is, what the dilemma or the problem is, you must start with the beginning. And no matter what the question you may have today may be, the beginning and the end, the answer is in Christ. Consider this phrase, the beginning. The beginning. It is a phrase you will find throughout the scriptures in various places. The beginning of this, the beginning of that, in the beginning this, in the beginning that. And right back at the beginning of Genesis, in the very first words of Scripture, just as we've looked at the very last book in the Bible and read of Christ, and the very last chapter in the very last book of the Bible, where he concludes the Scriptures by reminding us that he is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the reason for all things. If we go back to the very beginning, it takes our thoughts right back to the beginning of the Scriptures and the beginning of time and the beginning of creation, when God opens his word by saying, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And here, in the last book in the Bible, Christ tells us that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the beginning. So this phrase, the beginning, is not just a phrase or a point in time or a commencement of something. It is in fact a name or a description of Christ himself. I am the beginning and the end. So not only did God create the heavens and the earth at the beginning of time or the beginning of history or the beginning of the scriptures, but he created the heavens and the earth in the beginning, in Christ. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I am the beginning, Christ says. Then in Christ, God created the heaven and the earth. In his Son, he created the heaven and the earth. It is through Christ, through the Word of God, through the Son of God, that God created all things. All things that you see in this world have to do with Christ, who is the beginning and the end. There would not be a world without Christ. There would be no reason for this world to exist without Christ. He is the cause of this world. He is how God brought this world into being, through his Son. He spake and it came about. God said, let there be light, and there was light. In the beginning, in Christ, he created the heaven and the earth. Not just in the beginning of time, but in the beginning, a person, the Son of God. God created the heavens and the earth. In his Son, through his Son, he created. There would be no creation apart from his Son. Indeed, the entire first chapter of Genesis leads up through the 6 days of creation to the creation of man, who is a figure of the man, the last Adam, Jesus Christ. The creation is a creation in which we see the coming forth of the Son of God. It's a picture of him. The physical creation which we have and the physical creation of the first Adam, man upon this world, was but a figure of the spiritual everlasting creation of the new heavens and the new earth and the man, Jesus Christ, upon it. In him God created the heaven and the earth. He brought him forth on the sixth day. He set him before this world. He said, "This is my Son. Behold him." This is the reason for this world. It's created for him to dwell in it. Well, this world that we now see now, being a figure of that new heaven and new earth to come, in which Christ will reign with his people forevermore, is reserved to be burnt up by fire, as we've seen before in Peter's epistle. But it's a figure of that creation in which the Son of God will reign forevermore. In the beginning, in Christ, God created the heaven and the earth. As John in his gospel opens and reminds us, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Well, not only is in the beginning a reference to time, but it's another reference to Christ himself. In Christ is the Word, for he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. He is the beginning. The Word came forth at the beginning, but he is the beginning. There's no beginning without Christ. There's no end without Christ. In the beginning. And in the end. I am Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the ending. The world came forth in Christ, through Christ, by his word. Because of him, it came out from him. It exists because of him. It's only here because of Christ. And therefore he is the reason for its existence. And he is the end. The passing of time, the passing of history, is a passing which leads unto Christ, from whence it began. The world was created by him and for him. All things were created by him and for him. They would not exist apart from him. They have no reason for being here apart from him. There is no reason for this world to exist in any manner apart from Christ. They are for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist, Paul writes in Colossians. By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. All things were created by him and for him. The world exists because of Christ. It exists for Christ, And it exists for an ultimate reason, an ultimate cause, which is to bring in a new heaven and a new earth with a people taken out of this earth who are Christ's forevermore. Why are you here upon this earth today? Because Christ is building his church, he's saving a people, and he's making his glory known unto all this world. If you know him, or if you know him not, he is the reason you are here. You are either here to learn of his grace and his salvation and his love for you, which he set upon you from the beginning, despite your enmity, despite your apathy, despite your hatred and disdain of him. If he set his love upon you from the beginning, then he will make that love known unto you. He will show you what he has suffered for you, that he took your sins, he took your iniquity, he took your rebellion, he took your hatred, and he suffered for it upon the cross. God the Father took him as a sacrifice in your place, and beat him and bruised him and slew him, that you should be set free, that you should be delivered, that you should be washed clean in his blood, that you through him should be made righteous, and that you with him should reign forever. As kings and princes and priests, he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, John says. He either did that for you, and that's why you're here. Or he made you as one who would go astray like all men have gone astray, to be set forth as an example of judgment, because you would not believe. You would not listen. You would not return to he who was in the beginning and he who is the ending. You refuse to bow the knee unto your creator. You refuse to bow the knee unto he who gives you life. You refuse to listen to his word. If you refuse it, then perhaps you are one that he has set forth as an example of his righteousness and judgment. For he will make it known that he is a just God that dealeth justly with sinners. And there are those who will go to their grave in sin, railing against him, saying, "We will not worship him," even though he's given them everything. Even though he's given them life. Even though he's given them all the riches they have in this world, even though everything they've ever had is from him, they will not serve him. So he judges them justly forevermore, that all may know throughout eternity that this is a just God and a Saviour. You either love him forevermore because he set his grace upon you, or you will hate him, because your natural instinct is to turn away from him. But whatever you are, and whatever you do, will never alter the fact that the reason you are here is because this world was made by him and for him, for his glory. It's his world. It's his creation. This is his time. And it's his eternity. You are his, whether you own it or not. Your breath is his that he has given unto you to live by. Your heart beats because he causes it to beat. The ground that you walk upon is his. The house that you live in is his. The clothes that you wear are his that he has given you. The friends and the family that you have are his that he's provided for you. All that you have, all that you are his. He's given them to you. He's given them to you as a gift. And do you take them? Do you steal them? Are you a robber who takes from the hand of God and says thank you very much and runs off as far as you can get? Never thanking him, never rewarding him, never loving him, never turning to him, never worshipping him, but taking all that he gives you and using it to your own ends, whilst cursing him and despising him and shutting your ears to his truth? Well, if you are, and if you do, don't forget that he is not just the beginning. These things did not simply come from him, but he is also the ending. He's not just the one that brought you forth that you may run away from, but he's the one unto whom you will run upon the last day. You will find yourself having spent your life running away from he who is the Alpha and the Omega. You will find that when you're at your furthest point, you will take a step and there he will be standing before you. And you will wonder, how did I run so far and yet I'm back here again? And he will demand an answer. He is the beginning and the ending. He is your beginning and your ending. Whoever you are, wherever you are, you came from him and you will return to him. He was there in the beginning and he will be there in your ending. John opens Revelation with this opening. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Oh, what a description in those verses there is of those short words. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. And where do you find yourself in that description? Is Jesus Christ the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth? Is he the one who loved you and washed you from your sins in his own blood, and have made you a king and a priest unto God and his Father? Is he the one before whom you would say, let there be glory and dominion forever and ever? Is he your Saviour? Is he your beginning and your ending? Is he your all in all? Has he loved you and washed you from your sins in his own blood? Or when he comes with the clouds, when he returns on that last day from the heavens above, and every eye shall see him, will you be amongst those who see him, though you pierced him through? Though you took, as it were, a sword and thrust it through him and slew him? Though you are guilty of his death, will your eyes see him whom you pierced? And will you, with all the kindreds of the earth, wail because of him? When your ending stands before you, when he who is your beginning who is also your end, stands before you, would you fall down in praise and worship because he loved you and washed you in his blood? Or will you wail because you pierced him and always pierced him? Did you spend every day in this world running, running, running away from him who is the Alpha and the beginning of all things, seeking to escape, and every day in your heart piercing him through, trampling his blood underfoot, taking as it were a sword and stabbing him, hoping he's dead, hoping he's out of sight, hoping he cannot see you, hoping he does not know, hoping you'll never have to face him again? Do you spend every day escaping, only to find on that last day when he returns that there he is, stood before you. John saw a vision of this man, this Jesus, this Alpha, this Omega. He said he turned to see the voice that spake with him. The voice that said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest right in a book, he turned. And he saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when John saw him, he says, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Make them known. Write it down. You've seen me, John. You've seen me before the last day. You've seen that I am the one that lived and was dead, and now liveth again. I am he that liveth and was dead, and now I am alive forevermore. Write it down, make it known. For there's a multitude of people in this world who pierced him through, who put him to death in their hearts, and they think they shall never see him again. They think he's been crucified. They think he's been slain. They think he's been laid in a grave, and they'll never have to worry about him again. But there's going to come a day when you will see what John saw. You'll see this one whose eyes are as a flame of fire. You'll see this one whose mouth, out of his mouth proceeds a sharp two-edged sword. And you, like John, will fall down before him as dead when he says unto you, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth now and was dead. You slew me, but I am alive. And behold, I live forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. You'll hear him say unto you, You slew me, but I'm alive, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Your fate is in my hands. I determine who shall live and who shall die. Like the brothers of Joseph, they got rid of Joseph. They got rid of him. He was as dead to them. They never thought they'd stand before him again. And there came that day in Egypt where there they were. And this mighty power, this mighty ruler in Egypt, who had life and death in his hands, because he was the one who had the food in the time of famine. They were dead men, except this ruler in Egypt gave them food to live. Their life was in his hands, and there he was, Joseph, whom they had slain. They never thought they'd see him again. You may think that you will never see Jesus Christ again. Oh, you've heard of him. You've heard these Christians speak of him. You know that he was crucified. You know what's written of him. But constantly you mock and you scoff and you turn away and you pretend it's not true. And even though he's the beginning of your life, even though your heart beats because of him, even though everything you have came from him, you believe the lie that others tell you and you pretend he doesn't exist and you put him to death in your heart, and there comes that day like Joseph's brothers when you will be desperate, when you will be dying, when you will be dead. And you'll stand the other side of the grave and you'll see this man, the Alpha and the Omega. And he'll say unto you, I am he that liveth and was dead. You thought I was dead. You put me to death. You thought you could escape dealing with me. You thought you could go through life and never have to face up to the fact that you're a sinner in need of salvation. You thought you could ignore the question. You thought you could forget about this gospel. You thought you could forget about your sins. You thought it would be all right in the end. You thought if there's a God, he's a loving God and he'll accept me whatever. Though I've always hated him, though I've always rejected him, though I trod his gospel underfoot, you thought that it would be okay. That somehow if there was life beyond the grave, if Christ was real, if God was real, that it would be okay. But you never sought me, though I sent my gospel to you, though I preached my gospel, though I sounded my word throughout this world, though I sent forth John with his record of what he'd seen, though I said unto this world, I am the beginning and the end, you thought that you'd never see me. But I am your beginning. I am alive forevermore. I am the ending. And now you stand before me, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Oh, how foolish man's heart is, that he buries his head in the sand, runs from God and thinks he can escape. But he runs and he runs, as it were, in a circle, and he comes back to the same point, and there before him is his Maker, Jesus Christ, the beginning and the ending. He is the reason for all things. He is all. He is the only reason this world is, and the only reason you're alive today. He's the reason for today. He's the reason for tomorrow. He's the reason for next week if it comes. He's the reason every day you wake up in the morning. He's the reason. And you don't think about him. You seek your own things, your own pleasures, your own riches, your own aims. Like that's the purpose that you're here for, when he's the reason. He's the reason. He is the beginning of all things. We saw in Genesis 1 that he's the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He is the beginning of all things. The beginning of the creation. Revelation 3:14 tells us, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He is the beginning. This world would not exist without him. He's the beginning of creation. He is the beginning of time. Time would not exist except Christ had made it. Time is governed by the spinning of the world, as it were, around the sun. The sun. This world would be nothing without the sun, without the heat and the light of the sun. Take the sun away, and there'd be no more life. Take the Son of God away, and there'd be no more life. He is the beginning of time, and he's the end of time. He's the beginning of life, all life, every kind of life. He's the beginning of natural life and spiritual life. He is the one who spake and life came forth upon the earth. He's the one who spake and Adam was created out of the dust of the earth. He's the one who spake and breathed life into Adam. He's the one who spake and breathed life into you. He spake and you came to be. He spake and you came forth from your mother's womb. He spake and you lived. He speaks and your heart continues to beat. It's because he causes you to live that you live. And the moment he says, no more, you'll drop down dead and stand before him the other side of the grave. He's the beginning of life. He's the beginning of all natural life. Every single person born in this world throughout all history was brought forth by his command. And every single one of them has turned their back upon him by nature. And they've gone astray. They've fallen. They've turned to sin. They've turned to their own ways. And there's a judgment for sin. It has to be answered. Your sin is to turn your back upon God. Sin can be described and manifests itself in many ways. There are many actions which are sinful. But ultimately it's your refusal to believe. It's your turning your back upon God, which is your greatest sin. You reject God. And that must be answered. And if it's not answered, you will die. Sin entered this world by one man, Adam, when he rejected God, when he refused to do what God had commanded, when he went his own way and disobeyed. And when sin entered, because death is the consequence and the judgment of sin. And you will die because of your sin. And you remain spiritually dead, blind to the truth, willfully choosing another way from God's way, willfully rejecting all that he has said unto you because of your sin, because you're dead spiritually. And if you're ever to hear the gospel, if you're ever to hear the one who says, I am Alpha and Omega, if you're ever to see him as John saw him and know him for who he is and worship him as the one that loved you and washed you in his blood, if you're ever to know him and love him as your saviour, then he must take you who are dead and make you to live. He must create you again. He must breathe new life into you. He is the beginning of life, natural life, but he's the beginning of spiritual life. He's the beginning of a new life, a new birth, a second birth, a birth that comes from God above that causes you, a dead sinner, to live. And to look and to behold the Saviour and to believe upon him. Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. He's the beginning of this new life. Because when he died, as a consequence of bearing the sins of a multitude, as the consequence of sin, he died. If you go to your grave without knowing him, you will die because of your sin. But he died because of men's sin. He took the sins of his people. He took the sin of man and he suffered and died under it. He bore the sins of his own and he died. And he was the first to die. He suffered the outpouring of God's wrath. When any man comes and says it's not fair, I can't worship a God that can judge sinners. I can't worship a God who would send sinners under hell and cause them to suffer such terrible torment. How can I worship a God that would do that? Let them know that they are not the first to suffer this. That the same God that they condemn for sending such a judgment to them, even though they deserve it, is the same God that first suffered the very same judgment himself in his Son, in Christ, for his people. He will pour no judgment upon the wicked that he hasn't already tasted himself. None of the wicked can turn to him and say it's not fair, because the same God that judges them judged his own Son. He poured out the same wrath that they experienced upon his own Son, upon himself. He trod the pathway before they ever trod it, and he didn't deserve it. They have it because they deserve it. He tasted it because he didn't. He tasted it because he set his love upon a people that deserved the wrath. But he took it upon himself that they should not have to experience it. He was the first to die. He was the first to die in terms of the true everlasting second death, the wrath of God, the experience of hell. Many in the passing of time have gone to the grave before the coming of Christ, but he experienced hell before any did, before they were taken and thrown into that pit. He trod there first. He experienced it. He knew it. He knew what the wrath of God was. He knew what death was. And he experienced it because he loved the people that he would deliver from it. Let none call God unjust. He pours out no judgment upon a sinner that he's not already experienced himself. He is the beginning. He went there first. He's the first and the last. He trod there first. And he is the first begotten of the dead. He was the first to rise again and to live again with a new life that lives forevermore, that will never die. He rose again. And because he rose, all his people rise in him. Because he lives, he can bring life to dead sinners, life to those lost in sin. He is the beginning of life, all life. Ye must be born again. Jesus says in John's Gospel, ye must. How can you be born again? When the Spirit brings this life of Christ, this life in rising from the dead and brings it unto you. When he brings you life in the gospel, when he makes the gospel known unto you, when he makes his Son known unto you, when he says, here is my Son, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Here is your beginning. Here is your life. Here's the beginning, fourthly, of faith. When you have this life, your eyes are opened. Your eyes are open to see him who gave you the life. Suddenly you see him who you never saw. You heard of him with a natural ear. You read of him upon the pages of scripture perhaps. But you never saw him. And now when he gives you life, he gives you faith. His faith. The faith of Jesus Christ. From faith to faith. He puts the same faith in your heart that he has. And you see. And you see things as he sees things. You see the Lord God. You see the Father. You see the world to come. You see the inheritance to come. You see the Saviour suffering in your place. You see his blood being shed for your sins. You see forgiveness in his blood. You see salvation. You see hope. You see the beginning. And you see the end. You see the Alpha and the Omega. You have that faith. He who is the author and finisher of faith, the captain, the forerunner, the one that went before in faith, and the end of faith, the one under whom faith looks, the beginning and end of faith, you see him. Because he's the beginning of your faith. He gives you faith and you look to him by faith. He's the beginning and the end of your faith. the Alpha and Omega of faith, the A to Z of faith. Fifthly, he's the beginning of the church. The beginning of the church is the beginning of the creation and the beginning of the church. He brings forth all his people. He brings them to life. He puts faith in their heart and he gathers them. He gathers them together. He gathers them out of the darkness of this world as a pool of light in the midst of this world. He unites them in him and he leads them to him. And he says, this is my bride, this is my body, this is my church, this is my ecclesia, my called out people. He calls a people out from this earth. He separates them unto himself. He calls them out from the darkness and leads them to the light. They are his ecclesia, his church, his called out people. And he's the beginning of them. When he died, they died with him. When he rose, they rose with him. When he ascended, they ascended with him. And he sends forth his gospel and it comes into their ears and they hear and they believe and they come to know what's already happened. They come to know that they died with him. They come to know that they were crucified with him. They come to know that they rose again with him. They come to know that they ascended with him. They come to know that they will live and dwell evermore with him as kings and priests unto God and his Father. They come to know that he loved them and washed them from their sins in his own blood. They come to know that he is the beginning of the church. He is also the beginning of love. The beginning of love. There is no love outside of Christ. No matter what men and women in this world will tell you, there's no true love outside of Christ. The one great thing that people talk about outside of God that they seek after is love. Everyone wants to be loved. They see love as the answer to all the troubles they see in this world. But there is no love outside of God. He is love. God is love. True love, selfless love, love which seeks the good of another and not the good of yourself, is only to be found in God. He is love. And Christ is the beginning of love. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. When did Christ love us? When we hated him. We had no love until he loved us. And because he loved us, he suffered for us. He shed his own blood for his people, the us, that they, when they come to know it and hear it, and have faith put in their heart and are brought to life by the Spirit, might love him back. We loved him who first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He's the beginning of love and the end of love. True love is set upon Christ. He loved his bride, the church. He washed her in his own blood. He made her perfect and she loves him. But once she hated him. Do you love him? Or do you hate him? Do you despise him? Do you ignore him? You might say, well, I don't hate him. I just don't really think of him. I just don't really consider Christ. I hadn't really thought whether he's real or not. But I don't hate him, I just don't think of him. But to ignore him, to think of your own things and never think of Christ is to hate him. It's to hate him. You don't ignore those who you love. True love is shown by showing and thinking of the one you love. You consider them. You seek them, you want to be with them, you seek them out, you hear their voice, you do things for them. You may say, well, I've never really considered Christ. That's because you hate him. You despise him, you care not for him. But if you're ever brought to love him, it's because he loved you when you hated him. He's the beginning of love. Seventhly, he's also the beginning of judgment. I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Will he be your beginning of judgment because he judged your sins at the cross before you were ever born? Will you discover that his judgment for you has been paid? It was paid by his own blood. Or will you discover him to be the beginning of your judgment? When you stand before him on that day, when you thought you'd got as far away from him as you possibly could, and then you found yourself in front of him again, is he your judgment, never to be escaped? Will you wail, or will you rejoice and praise his name forevermore? He who is the beginning and the ending. The beginning and the end of all things. He's the end of all things. The end. The purpose of all things. The very reason for all things, as I said at the beginning. He's the reason you're here. He's the reason this world is here. He's the reason the countries are here. He's the reason there is life at all. He's the reason the world and the heavens and the stars and the moon and the sun exist. Without him, there's no reason for it. There's no purpose for it. There's no logic in any of it. There's no reason for any of it to be here. He is the reason for all things. John calls him the Word, the Logos, the Logic. He's God's logic, he's God's word, he's God's reason. He's the word, the reason for everything. Everything proceeds from him, everything is for him. And everything leads to him. Then this day, what are you going to do and what are you going to think and how are you going to see things in relation to he who is the beginning and the ending? He's the reason you're here. He's the reason you're sat here today. He's the reason you're listening to this message. He's the reason tomorrow will come. He's the reason for everything in your life. Then why are you going off searching for answers here and searching for answers there and seeking to do this and seeking to do that and not falling down upon your knees before him? He's the reason you're here. He's the cause of all things. He's the end of all things. He's the answer to all things. He's the ending. He's the answer to all things. Have you any questions today? He's your answer. Have you any hopes today? He's your answer. Do you hope for things to become better? They'll only become better in him. Do you hope to escape trouble? You'll only escape it in him. Do you hope to be delivered from something? You'll only be delivered through him. He's the answer for everything. You will get no help from man. You'll get no help in this world. You'll get no help from riches. You'll get no help from politicians in the end. All these things can give you temporary relief, but there comes a day when death will grasp you by the shoulder and pull you the other side of time into eternity, and there you will stand before he who is the beginning and the ending. He's the reason. He's your answer. Then where are you going for answers? Has God given you some understanding? That wherever you are today, wherever this message finds you, whatever the circumstances you are in, whatever you need to solve or to do today, tomorrow, this next hour, this next week, whatever the trial, whatever the difficulty, whatever the question, he's your answer. Come before him. Pour out your soul before him. Confess what you are before him. And pray that he will have mercy upon your soul. He's your answer. And ultimately, in the passing of time, you may go round and round in circles, turning away from this message, turning away from this exhortation, trying to do this, trying to do that, getting nowhere. Time will run out, and there you will stand before him. And he's either been your answer because he loved you and he washed your sins in his own blood and he made that known unto you and you confessed your sins and you fell down and worshipped, or he'll be your answer in judgment. Where is it? I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen.